From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, October 18th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice. Support for KUAF comes from the Community Clinic, helping people lead healthy lives by providing health care for all in Northwest Arkansas. Serving the community for over 15 years with locations in Springdale, Rogers, Siloam Springs, and Fayetteville. Healthy people, healthy community. On the web at communityclinicnwa.org. Ahead on Ozarks, in about 20 minutes, the gavel has come down to begin a special session of the Arkansas Legislature. Chris Hickey reports on the opening afternoon of a session dedicated to solving, if only temporarily, a projected spike in insurance rates for public school employees in Arkansas. Plus, our usual Friday conversations with Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com and Becca Martin-Brown from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. And Antoinette Grajeda tries to discover the lure of following festivals for one retailer who's selling her wares right now at Mulberry Mountain for the Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Festival. And we'll have music inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio with the Trash Can Bandits. First, a special session of the Arkansas Legislature is underway to address a hike in health insurance for the state's 47,000 public school employees. Before the session began, two bills to fix teacher insurance were to go under consideration by the legislature. Although in a burst of last-minute filings, 13 bills are now under consideration, some of which are alternate measures to deal with the program, which could cause a 50% premium hike for teachers and school district staff at the beginning of next year. Governor Beebe called the session after he and legislative leaders determined they had enough votes to pass the needed measures. A consensus of lawmakers wants to appropriate $43 million to the program to steady rates next year and to provide additional fixes to have rates increase only 10% a year, closer to the national average. At issue with some representatives is a measure to have wealthier districts contribute to the state a base rate of property tax, which they currently do not have to contribute if they already meet requirements for per-student funding. House Speaker Davy Carter said after adjournment last night he still expects the Assembly to conclude its business in 3 days. Many residents in Harrison are upset over a billboard erected this week that says anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. Mayor Jeff Crockett says he and others view the sign as derogatory, hateful, and racist. He says Harrison does not need any of that type of publicity because of the image it's had in the past.
There has been a movement over the years by a nationally known hate group over the years that has tried to depict our area as an all-white area and that is not accommodating to minorities, and that's not true at all. They're located out in a rural, very rural, remote area, about 15 miles outside of town. They do not reflect the opinion of our community at all, as can well be seen with the number of people that have come out and spoke out about this billboard.
The group Crockett is referring to is the Ku Klux Klan, which has had its headquarters near the town. While he's opposed to the message on the billboard, the mayor says the person who paid to put it up does have a constitutional right to free speech. Meanwhile, Tom Robb, a man associated with a division of the Ku Klux Klan in Harrison, hasn't outright denied association with the billboard. He has used his Facebook page to voice his support of the new sign. More parks will be built in Siloam Springs in the next few years. City Communications Director Holland Hayden says the city has a few projects in the works.
One of those does include that Rosebud Trailer Park being demolished and being taken and utilized for a beautiful space for a Southside park. Right now we have some conceptual renderings. They are just conceptual at this point, but that is something that's really important, is to provide the people that live on the south side of 412 here in Siloam Springs a park. It's more of a large-scale pocket park, if you will. It's not a massive city acreage park, but it's a large-scale pocket park.
But that's just one of a handful of parks to be developed through the next year.
This year, 2013 and 2014, there will be over $2 million put into our park system, and that includes a Southside Park. It includes a large soccer complex. It's going to have 3 regulation-sized fields. It is a very, very large area. We hope to draw tournaments. And additionally, the Siloam Springs Whitewater Recreation Park on the Illinois River.
The $2 million being invested in Siloam Springs Parks is coming from the Walton Family Foundation, as well as from city coffers. Governor Mike Beebe yesterday appointed Frank Scott Jr. of Little Rock to the Arkansas Highway Commission. He replaces John Burkhalter, who resigned from the commission, to make a bid for lieutenant governor in next year's general election. Scott is a bank executive with First Security Bank and also sits on the boards of directors for the Little Rock Port Authority and Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Arkansas. He also spent 5 years on the governor's policy staff and was the governor's director of intergovernmental affairs before taking his current job. The appointment will expire January 14, 2017. A pair of streets on the west side of the University of Arkansas campus in Fayetteville will be closed beginning tomorrow. Razorback Road between Mitchell and Nettleship Streets and Leroy Pond from Razorback Road to Clinton Drive will close beginning at 7 tomorrow morning to allow for installation of new water and sewer mains. The project is part of preparations for future widening of Razorback Road between Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Nettleship Street. The roads will be closed to all through traffic through Tuesday. However, lots 60 and 62 will have access via Clinton Drive. The Arkansas Union at the U of A in Fayetteville has been ranked one of the best student unions in the country. It was ranked 17th in the list, the top 25 most amazing campus students union in the country. Topping the list is the student union at Oklahoma State University in Stillwater. 70% chance of rain tonight. Lows in northwest Arkansas in the mid-30s, mid-40s tonight for the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, 30% chance of rain early in the morning, say before 8 o'clock. Highs tomorrow throughout the region, 61 to 65. And Saturday night, clear. Lows from 36 to 41. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, entertainment, and much more for the entire region. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well. And before we get to the end of this call, please do not ask me how bad we're going to lose to Alabama.
All right. That's the last we'll mention of it. How's that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk about some political fundraising. The second quarter, was it?
Yes.
Third quarter. That's right, of course. The third quarter political fundraising numbers for Arkansas races are in. And spoiler alert, some people can raise a lot of money.
Yeah. Wow. And that some people's name is Mike Ross.
$1.1 million in a quarter, and that's the most by a gubernatorial candidate in Arkansas history for a quarter?
Yes, and it's the second consecutive quarter in which he set a record for fundraising. And, you know, what's interesting about that is, as we had, you know, some of us, goofy journalists who love this political stuff, had talked to a lot of these politicos, these analysts, these inside guys who said, you know, Ross probably won't have a good quarter. And we, for listeners who don't know, Ross is running for governor, the Democratic side, against probably Mr. Asa Hutchinson. But a lot of these folks would say Ross is probably not going to have a good quarter because he had to call in a lot of favors in that second quarter because he wanted to raise a lot of money and scare everybody else off. And so that we were kind of being pitched a message of low expectations. Well, if another record quarter for Ross is a bad quarter, I feel sorry for Asa Hutchinson because he's just going to, you know, Ross now has a little over $3 million in the bank. Asa has a little over $1 million. I know some politicos are saying that Ross has a bigger or a higher burn rate. He's going to have more money to pitch his message because it's going to be tougher for a Democrat to win. I'm not sure I buy all that, but it was a good quarter for him. And for a lesser known person, Tommy Maul, who's running for the 4th District, he had a surprise quarter. He outpaced Bruce Westerman, who's the Arkansas House Majority Leader, more than doubled his take. So that's going to turn out to be an interesting race.
What do you think was the more surprising figure in that 4th District race that Tommy Maul raised so much as sort of this surprise candidate? Or is it that Bruce Westerman didn't raise more?
Well, I'd hate to pick because I was surprised with both of those. And I suspect that Westerman is kind of the establishment leader. And we talked to Janine Perry, the political science professor there at the University of Arkansas, and she said somewhat the same thing, that that maybe Westerman and the establishment just kind of figured he was going to be the guy, and this Tommy Maul just comes out of nowhere. I'll be surprised if Westerman doesn't raise a heck of a lot more money in the next quarter, which is going to be tough, by the way, because it's a holiday quarter, and it's really just it's tough getting people tracked down in a non-holiday period. But with Thanksgiving and Christmas and then the New Year, I mean, if you don't get people lined up and get checks by mid-November, it's going to be hard to get it. And so this fourth quarter, the fourth quarter reports are typically not stellar reports. But, yeah, Maul, now the thing with Maul, a lot of his money didn't come from the 4th District. A lot of it come from outside the district, and I think Westerman and others will try to ding him on that.
You mentioned Mike Ross being able to raise a lot of money. Both of the candidates for Senate, Mark Pryor running for re-election, he's being challenged by Tom Cotton, the sitting congressman who wants to be in the Senate. They both raised more than $1 million in the quarter.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. And that's going to be that race is going to we're going to start seeing more of these big quarters. In fact, next year, the election year, which is 2014, these reports will come out monthly. So we may not see as much in the report, but we're going to begin to see a lot of money roll in, and it's going to be interesting, especially in that Senate race, to see where it comes from. Pryor is certainly an advantage. He's had years in the Senate, years to build up a war chest. He has a little over almost $4.5 million, I think, in cash on hand. I think Cotton, if memory serves, is around between 1.5 and 2 million cash on hand. And Cotton did outraise him, outraised Pryor in the quarter, not by much, but for a congressman, first-term congressman to come in and outraise, two-term U.S. senator, that's not a good sign for the Pryor camp. That being said, Senator Pryor still has a lot of money in the bank.
Well, and as you mentioned with Mike Ross, the gubernatorial candidate, he's raised a lot. He's also spent a lot already.
Yes, he has. I mean, he's and again, a lot of that I think goes to the fact he's really wanted to keep. You know, he didn't want any other candidates showing up. He didn't want a primary race. You know, Bill Halter eventually dropped out, but he's doing a lot to shore up that base. And one of the things that in business, you know, we often hear you have to spend money to make money. Well, to some extent, that's the same in politics. You know, you really want to get your name ID. You want to get some momentum built up, because as people start conducting these polls about who are you going to vote for or recognition, well, if you can get some good poll results come in where you're really strong, that gives you more of an ability to get on the phones and go talk to folks and say, look, I'm neck and neck, or I'm winning this. You need to come on board and support my campaign. So there's some of that strategy involved in Ross spending that money also.
Well, on the complete other side of the financial spectrum from political fundraising, SNAP benefits will be reduced. Part of this 2009 increase, well, not part of it, the 2009 increase in SNAP benefits will sunset on November 1st. We had a story about it yesterday on Ozarks at Large. Walmart was also talking about it this week.
Yes, and rightfully so. I mean, they stand to lose quite a bit of money, and these cuts come from, I think, as you mentioned, the stimulus. They were never long-term. It's not like they're cutting something back. They're cutting back to what the rates were prior to 2009. Because in 2009, it was essentially a $45 billion surplus put into the program. I think for an average family, I think the number was around 40. It was an extra $40 a month.
About $10, yes, about $10 per person
per
in the
person,
household.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but in Arkansas, the estimate is about $52 million that will come out. And so you throw $52 million in, add a multiplier to that, and that could be several hundred million, and that does hit Walmart. And, Walmart, I think, with groceries, about $151 billion for Walmart, and they've talked about how this will have an effect. I mean, it cuts into, I think Bill Simon talked about, you have young mothers buying milk and other key staples, and they've been using a lot of these SNAP funds to help supplement that. So where it really hurts Walmart is their grocery business has already, it's been tough. I mean, it's a low margin business, and this is not going to help. I think it's something around $4 billion. I'm trying to find the number, but it was something like $4 billion. They estimate they could pull out of the of sales for the rest of the year. So it's not an insignificant number. It's not tied. We've had some emails come in here and say, yeah, look, here's another effect of the shutdown. It's not tied to that. This has always been scheduled to go off the books on November 1st.
Well, and of course, the longer term concern is what the Farm Bill will mean for SNAP benefits. That could be another reduction in the future.
Right. Yes, and that could end up being another sticking point also on a shutdown. You know, I noticed on CNBC this morning they had already started the clock counting down to the next potential federal shutdown.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Well, in the midst of all that shutdown, the Arkansas legislature reconvening.
Right, short, and we hope it's short. They're supposed to meet today, Thursday, Friday, and then end up Saturday. Hopefully, they can find a fix. They have a what they say is a good plan lined up, and BB has always said that if he was not going to call a session unless a majority of members in the House and in the Senate had a clear plan and majority supported that plan. So essentially what they're trying to do is find a way to plug in about $53 million shortfall to the public school teacher health insurance fund. It funds about 47,000 teachers and school personnel in the state, and what those folks were facing were premium increases that were rising over 50% in some cases, higher deductibles, fewer offerings. So they were paying a lot more and getting a lot less, and it was just an actuarial problem. I mean, over time, you know, if you don't increase premiums or you don't maintain the system, you're going to have these one-time surprises. And I think Governor Beebe has been frustrated because this problem, they've known that this is coming for years, and no one stopped to fix it. And then, you know, then it kind of got through on his shoulders. But hopefully we'll get this fixed, a short-term fix with some steps that will lead to a long-term fix.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers stories that don't even revolve around money for the entire region. He does not make predictions about Arkansas-Alabama football games in 2013.
Not this week.
Not this week. Michael, thanks so much.
All right. Good talking to you.
This is the week where we figure out all the world's problems. Melinda Gates tries to make it more healthy. Erica Badu tries to make the world more funky. And Jeff Bridges says, well, that's just your opinion, man. I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for an intellectual roundtable on this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Saturdays at 10 a.m. on KUAF Public Radio.
In just a few minutes on Ozarks at Large, from Asheville, North Carolina, to Mulberry Mountain, how traveling behind the Grateful Dead turned into a business for one vendor at this weekend's Harvest Festival near Ozark. And later, the Trash Can Bandits with Katie Hendrickson inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. As Michael Tilley mentioned a few minutes ago, Arkansas lawmakers have gathered at the state capitol to convene for a special legislative session addressing insurance premium hikes for public school employees. Chris Hickey from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock was there yesterday for the opening, and he has this report.
All right, the House will come to order. Read the bills, Mr. Clerk.
With that, an array of bills were introduced on the House floor and assigned into committee as the special session began. Legislative leaders and Governor Mike Beebe promised it will last a total of 3 days. Most of the bills introduced deal with reappropriating funds to fix a shortfall in the public school employee insurance program. The signature proposal would use $43 million in state surplus money to address rising premiums. That measure advanced in the Joint Budget Committee yesterday afternoon. It's part of a legislative package for which Governor Beebe has said there is enough support to pass in both the House and Senate. On the House floor, Republican Representative Bob Ballinger of Heinzman attempted to pass motions to reassign two bills from the Education Committee to the Revenue and Taxation Committee. The competing measures both address what to do with excess property tax revenue from school districts that already meet a funding minimum required by the state. Talking about one of those, Ballinger said he disagreed with the committee assignments because of a simple reading of the bill's language.
I don't know how many times the word tax is utilized in the title of that bill. What this bill does is take a tax that's some would debate as a local tax and turn it into a state tax, which would increase revenue for some source.
Representative Tommy Thompson, a Republican from Morrilton, agreed with Ballinger.
If you read the proclamation that the governor issued in the section that talks about this, it says currently receive net revenue from a state uniform rate of tax. You read further down in there, it says the result of the revenue permissible local tax.
Of the bills Ballinger and Thompson refer to, one is sponsored by a bipartisan group of lawmakers from both chambers and would redirect excess property tax revenue from school districts back to the state. By Thursday evening, the Senate Education Committee had already advanced that measure. The other, sponsored by Republican House Majority Leader Bruce Westerman and Republican Senator Bill Sample, would redirect any excess property tax revenue back to taxpayers in the form of a credit. Currently, there are 8 school districts in Arkansas that would be affected by the change. Of these is the Fountain Lake District, which Westerman and Sample represent. After adjournment, House Speaker Davy Carter spoke to reporters and defended the attempt at reallocating some funds to save the insurance program.
Those efforts on that core package dealing with the teacher insurance. Now, does anybody like it and like that we're in this position? Absolutely no. I mean, I don't like having to do this. I don't like having to spend the money to do it, but you can't ignore it. Something's got to change, and these bills will change the way that is administered going forward.
When asked if he thought his chamber might not have the 75 votes needed to pass the allocation of surplus money, Carter refused to speculate.
Well, I don't expect that to happen. I mean, if that happens, then no, that's not going to happen.
In Little Rock, I'm Chris Hickey.
At most music festivals, there is plenty of activity. You can run from stage to stage listening to a variety of genres of music. You can sample food ranging from pizza to heroes to biscuits. You can even visit a number of vendors selling a whole host of items, including clothing, jewelry, and capes. Yesterday afternoon, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda headed to Mulberry Mountain, the site of Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival. While she was on the mountain, she stopped by Turn Up the Beat, a shop run by Brandy Young and her boyfriend, Johnny Wilson.
My name is Brandy, and I'm from Asheville, North Carolina.
And what's the name of your shop here?
Turn Up the Beat.
I like it. Did you come up with that?
I took off the lettuce and made it Turn Up the Beat.
And is this your first time at Harvest Festival?
Yeah.
How did you hear about it?
Through online.
And why did you decide to come to this festival?
Just seemed like no better place to be.
Do you travel the festival circuit?
Yeah, I do.
Where were you before here?
Last weekend in Tennessee at the Fly Free Festival.
And how many festivals do you go to?
Probably about 50 a year.
So what's the process like for you to get ready to come from your hometown to wherever you go? Once you're out on the road, are you on the road for a while?
Pretty much on the road. My cat lives in Asheville, North Carolina. We don't. Even though we have a house there, our cat is living there. But it's a lot of work in hotels and here, there, and everywhere in between.
How long does it take you to pack up and get ready to go?
It just depends. Anywhere from an hour to 6 hours.
Well, for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about what you have for sale here at your shop?
Sure. We have wire wraps, all done by hand and with gemstones. And we have hand-painted hats and clothing from India that's all hand-batiked. Mostly everything's handmade. So,
how did you decide on what type of items you want to sell?
Something that's always evolving and changing. I've been in this business 20 years. I started on a Grateful Dead tour making spinner dresses, and that evolved from one thing to another. I had one of the largest eBay stores for 10 years, selling imports, back doing my craft again, and back here with you.
Well, let's see, what are you working on right now? You're working on a hat.
I am, custom hat. She bought the hat. She wants it to represent the festival, so I've added Harvest 2013 to it.
And some of this jewelry here, these pendants and these...
The gems we pick up all over on our travels and go to, like, wholesale gem shows as well.
Do you make these rings or any of these other wire jewelry here?
My boyfriend does all the wire work. I do all the hats.
And how do you decide on your different artwork on the hats? There's an owl and an eye. And...
It's kind of whatever I'm feeling like making. I'm doing a peacock next. I've got that in my brain. That's up next.
And these, the clothing that you get from India, is it difficult to get clothing imported from out of the country?
Not really. And my emphasis on the clothing is a lot less these days because there are a lot of people doing it. So I've tried to get back more into my craft, even though I could be online selling a lot more, making a lot more money. I'm trying to ease back on that and get back to making things from scratch, kind of.
And how do you select your pieces?
Mostly everything I select, I try not to buy things in bulk. I try to more hand pick it out, and I travel and do that different places. But kind of have dealt with some of the same people for a long time too, when it comes to picking out imports.
So what is it about going to music festivals and selling your items there? Why is that something that you want to do? Like you said, you've been in this 20 years.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've gotten out of it as well and did the online thing for years, but you know, kind of, it's good. It's good for your soul to be out and meeting with people and creating and putting it out into the universe, and that's pretty much why.
Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda filed that story yesterday from Mulberry Mountain near Ozark. The Yonder Mountain String Band's Harvest Music Festival continues today and tomorrow. The champion of the Sam's Club National Barbecue Tour will be named as the country's only continuous competitive barbecue tour concludes in Bentonville tomorrow. Members of the public are invited to join celebrity judges sanctioned by the Kansas City Barbecue Society to sample barbecue from 11 until 4 at the Sam's Club home office in Bentonville. Now in its third year, the Sam's Club National Barbecue Tour brings together barbecue enthusiasts in 25 local events, then 5 regional finals, culminating in the national championship with 50 of the nation's leading competitive barbecue teams. And the total prize purse for the series, $500,000. The Friends of the Fayetteville Public Library will hold their semi-annual used book sale October 26th from 9 until noon in the lower level of the library parking garage. That's a week from tomorrow. All hardbacks, 50 cents. Paperbacks, just a quarter. A panel of mental health and community assistance providers from Northwest Arkansas will discuss the intersection of the mental health and the criminal justice systems in its implications for future mental health advocacy programs. The discussion is part of the 5th annual One Book, One Community project focusing on mental health issues. The panel will be 7 o'clock Tuesday night in St. Paul's Fellowship Hall in Fayetteville. It's free. It is open to the public. Panelists include Tom Patrizio, the CEO of Ozark Guidance, a mental health provider for children, adults, and families, Washington County Sheriff Tim Helder, as well as John Woodward, the CEO of Seven Hills Homeless Center, and Chris Arias, the director of Northwest Arkansas Medical Center, UAMS Psychiatric. By the way, the book chosen for this year's One Book, One Community in Fayetteville is Crazy, A Father's Search Through America's Mental Health Madness by Pete Early. The Bella Vista Village Property Owners Association is seeking volunteers to clean up a stretch of U.S. Highway 71 from Reardon Road to the Missouri border. Cleanup begins at 10 a.m. November 16th. Any new or existing volunteer who brings a friend to assist with the litter cleanup on the 16th will be entered for a chance to win 2 tickets to a game during the University of Arkansas men's basketball season. If you'd like more information or would like to volunteer, 855-5019. The Austin Lounge Lizards, the band that asks and answers such stimulating questions as how do you get too big to fail, coming back to Fayetteville Friday, November 1st. The Lounge Lizards are the perfect pairing of their Austin Hometown's monikers, Music Capital of the World, and the city's motto, Keep Austin Weird. For more than 30 years, Austin Lounge Lizards have been spoofing the topics American families try to avoid at the Thanksgiving table. They'll be in Fayetteville at the 324 Ballroom Friday, November 1st, beginning at 8 p.m. Admission, $20. The Bentonville Public Library will host a pictorial history of Bentonville with local historical researcher Randy McCrory. This will be inside the Walmart Community Room Tuesday night beginning at 6. In the presentation, he'll be sharing many images of Bentonville from the 1890s to the 1930s. He was raised in Northwest Arkansas and has been collecting postcards and pictures of eastern Benton County since 2000. At this time, over 700 images related to Bentonville in his collection. And there are a few opportunities to see area college teams in action this weekend. Tonight, the Arkansas volleyball team hosts the number 2 team in the country, Florida. That's at 7 o'clock in Barnhill Arena on the U of A campus. They'll also be home Sunday afternoon at 1:30 to play Georgia. The John Brown University volleyball team is home tomorrow afternoon at 2 to face Oklahoma Baptist. Both JBU soccer teams are in Siloam Springs tomorrow to host Wayland Baptist. Women play at 11, the men at 1. And the final home matches of the year for the University of Ozark soccer teams are tomorrow in Clarksville. They'll face Mary Hardin Baylor, the women at 12:30, the men at 3. And finally, the Arkansas soccer team on the road tonight, back home Sunday afternoon at 2 against Tennessee. This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, October 18th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from the live music capital of the world, Austin, Texas, is Becca Martin Brown. She's features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Howdy, Becca.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you finding Austin?
Well, I don't think I'm going to see much of Austin as a live music capital because I'm here for a wedding.
I see.
So that means that, you know, pretty much every event is prescribed and directed. But it's a beautiful city.
It really is. Lots of good food, lots of good music. It's a good place to be.
Well, and you could be doing things here like seeing Elton John in concert or seeing Les Mis or seeing Macbeth.
Well, you know what? In the last year, I could have seen Elton John in Fayetteville. I could have seen Les Mis, any number of places in Northwest Arkansas. I could have seen Macbeth. So, yeah.
And there you go. Which is why we're so cool.
That's right.
So if you're home and cooler than I am.
Yes.
Here's some things you can be doing.
Okay.
Beauty and the Beast is on this weekend at the Walton Arts Center.
5 shows over the weekend.
Proving it can still happen. True love with a beast. No, wait, that's something else. Anyway, tickets range from $39 to $73. Showtimes are 7 o'clock today, 2 and 7:30 Saturday, and 2 and 7:30 Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's Harvest Music Festival weekend.
Yes, it is.
Yonder Mountain String Band is one of the headliners this year. Also on the main stage are the Tedeschi Trucks Band with Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi. And, oh, I scored points for knowing who he was at breakfast this morning.
Oh, I bet you did. I bet you did.
They have a new album, Made Up Mind, earlier this year, and they perform tonight at 10. Railroad Earth is at 7:45 tomorrow, and Yonder Mountain String Band wraps it up at 9:45 tomorrow night at Mulberry Mountain. 2-day passes are $105. It's also Fall Crafts Fair weekend, which is about as far from a music festival as you can get.
But both attract a lot of people.
They do, and they are all over the place at Bella Vista, at the Jones Center in Springdale, at the Convention Center in Springdale, and the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers, at Spanker Creek Farm in Bella Vista through Sunday, of course, out at War Eagle and at Frisco Station Mall in Rogers. And there is a complete list in today's What's Up.
Very good.
And finally, it's that time of year when small children run around with pumpkins.
Because it's close to Halloween?
I guess, or because everybody buys pumpkins in the fall.
Sure.
They don't even cut them up necessarily. They just chase them around. And one of the pumpkin patches is at Sequoia United Methodist Church. They say Alex Carter, who works with us, did this roundup and says it's the 8th year, but it seems like a lot longer than that to me.
I agree.
But it is one of the places you can go and buy pumpkins. And if you do, you will be benefiting their youth mission trips.
And
Pumpkin Patch.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say they're open 10 to 7 Monday through Friday and 9:30 to 7:30 Saturday and noon to 7:30 Sunday.
And all sorts of autumnal and Halloween events are happening. And, of course, What's Up is a great source to find out just when and where, correct?
Lists. Lots of lists. We have many lists. Check with us on things both fun and spooky, and wish me luck in Austin.
Well, if you want things fun and spooky in Austin, don't forget, you can go, I think it's the Congress Street Bridge. If I'm wrong, someone will email me and correct me. But bats upon bats upon bats come out at sunset.
Really?
Yes, right over the river. It's why the Austin hockey minor league hockey team was called the Ice Bats. It's quite a show.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you, Kyle. Is there anything you don't know?
Oh, there's plenty I don't know. There's plenty. Thank you, Becca.
Well, I'll check with you Sunday and see if you've learned anything new.
Actually, you'll be talking to Christina Sunday because I'll be at I'll be at a wedding myself in Baltimore, so I'll be out of town.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, then. Have a safe trip.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Ernesto Cerulli came to Africa to fight hunger, so he grew tomatoes.
And when the tomatoes were nice and ripe and red, overnight, some 200 hippos came out from the river and they ate everything.
I'm Guy Raz. How Not to Fight Poverty and Other Stories of the Haves and Have-Nots. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
That's this Sunday beginning at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. Walton Arts Center presents Nozzle Brass October 25th as part of the 10x10 art series. This Austrian brass ensemble combines comedic timing and humor with classical, jazz, and other styles of music. Tickets and information available at waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600. KUAF's on-air fundraiser begins Thursday. That's October 24th. But all pledges received during the month of October count toward our goal. You can go to supportkuaf.com and make your pledge right now. Your pledge helps keep insightful and thought-provoking programming on the air. And from everyone at KUAF and Ozarks at Large, thank you very much. The band Trash Can Bandits makes music in the middle of places, in the middle of the past and present, in the middle of bluegrass and ragtime. And recently, they made music right in the middle of the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Katie Hendrickson invited Ed Cheek, Patty Steele, Nick Clark, and Dane Gamble to KUAF to discuss their influences, explain their band's name, and play a couple of songs. Just to give you an idea of how much sound the Trash Can Bandits can make, here's an incomplete list of the instruments they bring to a stage. Trumpet, drums, banjo, clarinet, spoons, mandolin, and guitar. When the four musicians came to KUAF, Katie asked them about their overall approach to music.
I'll put you on the spot and ask, what is the attitude of Trash Can Bandits?
It's just intensity in the fullest, but using instrumentation and voicing that doesn't usually go with that kind of attitude. Like, you could almost say that it's rockabilly, but it's not.
Or it's bluegrass, and it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. The attitude as it goes on stage typically just comes out as, like, I don't know, just ruckus. Just ruckus.
I used to always tell them they're pirates because their attitudes was not necessarily like, they're not going to steal your stuff from you, you know, because pirates do tend to steal items. But
it's a more abstract thievery.
Here we go. Now we're getting on it.
It's always been this kind of air of, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next, so make it count. Time is precious.
Yeah, we work hard at what we do, but we pretty much always fly by the seat of our pants when it comes down to it.
I think that's where some of the charm comes from.
Yeah.
And y'all are getting to play songs for us in the studio. What songs are you going to play?
This song is one that has been there since the very beginning. It kind of has a jazz, swing, New Orleans kind of feel to it. It features Patty on the clarinet. In the words of Dane, it's a song about the He-Man Woman Haters Club called Queen of Hearts.
Yeah. I love this song.
Yep.
Can't wait to play it.
This is the Queen of Hearts.
Oh,
in her head. Come out like she just don't care. Pretty little girl, ain't never seen a thing like you. Cyanide lays on her lips. Steals her breath with the tornado hips. Pretty little girl, ain't never seen a thing like you.
A brand new album out called The Righteous and the Wicked.
Actually, where we recorded, East Hall Studios.
Chris Moore, he's the best.
Yeah, Chris Moore. He recorded everything on a reel. We recorded to tape, you know, and then he does a whole bunch of trickery to make it digital and then tape again and then digital and kind of makes it all gel together. We had what we like to call bandits banter between our songs. Some of the more memorable stuff actually made it onto the album. So whenever you listen to a song, you then... you hear us just rambling about something. I mean, just something
nonsense.
Stupid.
And it was something that I really wanted, too. I wanted it to be an album where you feel like we're your friends, you know what I mean?
Like, we're just there with you.
Yeah, like we're just hanging out at the recording studio watching us be dorks, you know? So that's really what we were trying to encompass, and I feel like Chris did a really good job of incorporating that into the album. Yeah.
And you really do have to listen. I feel like it's like an old record when you used to buy records, because you really need to listen from the beginning to the end and don't skip around, because you miss some of those little things that happen at the end of songs. And I feel like that you really get a kind of a little peek at who we are as a band and who we are even individually, because there's a lot of us going on in there.
There's a lot of us.
Stack the deck, and if you shuffle it, then it's not going to make quite as much sense. You might not win.
And how about the other song you're playing?
It's a very stream of consciousness sort of experience. I had been sitting on my parents' back porch for too long with too much coffee. Ended up just writing down some lyrics and noodling around on guitar, and that was how the song came out. It has a very sunny day sort of feel to it. Very stream of conscious, but I think it's relatable to everyone to some extent, you know, so.
Very wistful.
Yeah, it's very wistful. And it, you know, it's the idea of it being that stream of consciousness, because sometimes songwriters don't allow that. You know, they're trying to structure so much and they forget that sometimes things can just happen. And I like that about Dane's writing, is that sometimes it just has a flow to it that's natural for him.
Right on the set.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your music with us.
Yeah, no problem. Yes.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Appreciate it.
The Trash Can Bandits inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. The Trash Can Bandits are Patty Steele, Dane Gamble, Nick Clark, and Ed Cheek. They talked with KUAF's Katie Hendrickson. You can hear Katie, by the way, every Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on KUAF with her program Of Note, and every Sunday evening at 5 with Sunday Symphony.
This week on This American Life, let's say you had a superpower. Maybe you could fly. Would you fight crime? Work for world peace?
If I could fly, the first thing I would do is fly into the bar, check out what's going on there, fly back home, attach my baby to me and fly to a doctor's appointment at 11:30. Then I think I would fly to Atlantic City.
Superpowers, this week from Public Radio International.
Listen Sunday at 10 a.m. to KUAF Public Radio.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Support for KUAF comes from Malco Theaters, featuring the 35th anniversary of Halloween with a triple feature on Wednesday, October 30th. The 1978 classic John Carpenter's Halloween, plus Halloween 4 and Halloween 5 will be shown in new HD transfer and 5.1 audio. More information available at malco.com. KUAF's on-air fundraiser will begin Thursday, that's October 24th. All pledges received during this month count toward the goal. You can support KUAF online right now at supportkuaf.com. Your pledge helps keep insightful and thought-provoking programming on the air, and thank you. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Gravette. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening. Antoinette Grajeda and Christina Thomas will join forces for this weekend's edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large. That's Sunday morning at 9. Christina will have a brand new edition of Daily Ozarks at Large on KUAF Monday at noon.